The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tupper's Plains, Ohio. Reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and enjoy an exciting service and experience. True love, pure worship, real answers.
Look, you see, y'all laughing. Y'all don't understand. You don't understand.
Our pastor is a class act.
He's a class act. You know,
he's a good brother.
We have so many
Amen.
People that... yes, thank you, God. We have so many people that we know over the years, and they are in works that are not as gracious. They have to, in this moment, they need to submit to people that are not as gracious. So we are so fortunate and blessed to have the vessel that God is using here.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, praise the Lord. Sure, you go ahead.
Okay. Father God, we just thank you right now for today. We thank you for, one, just the opportunity to share your word. But Father God, we ask that we would hear from you and that all of us would receive what you want us to hear today. And we just thank you for it right now. I thank you that this word is going to go into soil that's prepared and ready for you, and it will take a deep root and bring forth what you want it to bring forth in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it. We come against any hindrance right now. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So as Pastor said, last week we talked about the do's and don'ts of personal prophecy. Again, personal prophecy can be viewed from two angles, the giver and the receiver. And so last week we talked about the receiver. And today we're going to talk about the giver, the person who's going to get the prophecy and then give it out. Just in review, because review is an important thing. Plus, you know, sometimes you just got to like chew it and bring it back up.
Amen.
A personal prophecy is a message from God for you. That's what a personal prophecy is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3, it tells us the one who prophesies speaks to people so that they are strengthened, encouraged, and comforted. A personal word of prophecy can be a source of tremendous blessing and encouragement, and an event that can be pivotal in one's personal faith. A personal prophecy helps us to believe God for greater and newer things.
Amen.
Okay, so last week we talked about when you receive a personal prophecy, you should write it, test it, surrender it, pray it, do it, and revisit it. Okay, so for the details on how to do each of those things, you got to listen to the podcast or get a CD from the sound booth, because we ain't going to go back. We ain't going to go back and do it today.
Unless you give us a couple hours.
No.
I told Ivy, I said, she told me we went an hour and 10 minutes last
week. Yeah, I
week
looked at
something.
That podcast
I said,
at the time.
To
I was like, that's too
week.
Long. That's too long.
So
that's too
we'll,
long.
We'll try to move along.
We're going
to
move along. Okay, so today we want to talk about personal prophecy from the angle of the giver. A personal prophecy can be given through five channels or methods. Okay? A personal prophecy can be given through five channels or methods. The first is office of the prophet. And I'm going to go slow because I see people taking notes and we don't have our thingy up there. What is this called? The name is this.
Projector.
Yeah. I was about to say doohickey. I couldn't remember the name. Okay,
the slides.
So the slides. So it can be given through five methods. The first is the office of the prophet. The second is prophetic preaching. Third, prophetic presbytery. And that's spelled P-R-E-S-B-Y-T-E-R-Y. We don't throw around the word presbytery a lot in today. When you go in Walmart, you ain't gonna hear people say presbytery. So it's okay to not know how to spell that. Presbytery. Four is the gift of prophecy. And five is the spirit of prophecy.
You know, and before I go on, I'm going to touch on the office of the prophet. But before I do that,
here we go with prophetic preaching. Here we go.
No, but seriously, as I was going through, see, you're lucky. You're fortunate. I'm actually denying myself. There was a joke I heard I could tell, but I'm not going to tell it.
Don't tell it because it won't be funny.
She doesn't like me to tell jokes, and she says no one laughs at them.
But
anyway,
they're not funny.
So I'm showing some reserve. I'm showing some constraint here. But now what I will say is this, all of us are still using money. We still use currency, right? All right, now, I want you to think about this. There's a lot of evil things that has been done with money. We've got a lot of negative testimonies about what people will do to get money, right? But I guarantee you, when you drive up the street and go up here to GoMart, GoMart, you're going to have to pay your money. They're going to want money, okay? So we're still using it. Now, that's wisdom. We're working within a system. Now, here's what I want to caution you, because sometimes we run away from the things God has sanctioned and ordained for our church. We run away from them because of the negative reports and because of how we might look. And so when we talk about prophecy or prophetic ministry, we kind of run from that. And let's say God called one of you to be a prophet, you might not want to tell anybody, I'm a prophet. Something's wrong about that, because we've heard people abuse it, misuse it. They've taken advantage of people. So there's some bad things that do happen. But yet, currency, our funds, there's some things that they have a negative reputation at times too. We still use it, right?
Amen.
So we got to get to the place in the church that we understand we just need to do things the way God says do it. Don't run away from things He's set up in place. We just need to submit to His order, and we will have what we're supposed to have as the church.
Thank you, Lord God.
So I just felt the need to say that, because I know some people right now, even in your seats, you can become comfortable and you can say, well, I don't ever see myself moving in the prophetic. If you expect to advance in what God has for you to do, there are some gifts that's going to be uncovered in you, maybe even some offices, the ascension gifts, which we'll touch on. They are there in you. And so don't just think we can chill out and wait and play our in our place and let somebody else do it. So what we're saying is relevant to all of us.
Amen?
Amen? Amen. Having said that, I'm going to go on. Okay, so I need to touch on the office of the prophet. Something to keep in mind of is this. The office of the prophet is not one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay, now we know about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's 9 of them. We'll get into some of that a little bit. It is a gift, but it's a 5-fold ministry gift. Just a show of hands, sometimes we throw around things in our Christian world, and we have our terminology that some people don't even get. When we say 5-fold ministry, does everybody know what that is? Everybody feels comfortable? Okay, cool. You know, Jesus in Ephesians 4, which I'll jump to here.
I can read it.
You got it there?
Mm-hmm. Ephesians 4, verse 8. Ephesians 4, verse 8. This is the New Living Translation. It says, this is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who was descended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach all unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of fullness of Christ.
Amen. Amen. So understand. Here you got Jesus. He's going back to glory. Amen. He's about to disappear. And he says, look, my job was so big. He doesn't say that, but he's like, my job, I'm going to split it into 5 pieces, and I'm going to leave these gifts with you. And they're called ascension gifts because he gave them at the time when he was ascending. Okay? And so he's leaving us these gifts so we can still have the working, the ministry that he had in place. So as Ivy just read, one of those gifts was the prophet. Okay? So that's why we say the office of the prophet is a 5-fold ministry gift. It's not one of the 9 gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. Okay? And we'll talk about the gift of prophecy later, which is one of those, but the office is different. So understand, when it talks about edification, exhortation, and comfort, you should expect to hear that type of word from someone operating under a prophetic gift or the gift of prophecy. But the office of the prophet could operate under that, could give you a word of edification, exhortation, and comfort, a word to build you up, but that prophet could also give you a word that is correction, a word that doesn't make you feel good. So some people get it mixed up. They think if you're going to get a word from God, he's always going to make you feel good. I don't think Hezekiah felt good when he told his life was going to be limited. You know?
That's right.
I don't think he felt good. Nathan, when he went in, and let me just make sure I tell you the scripture here. Second Samuel, we don't have to turn to it. I'm just giving you some references so you can write it down. We're trying to be mindful of your time. We don't want to go too long. But an example is in 2 Samuel 12, and most of us may know this story. Nathan goes to David and deals with him about his adultery and the fact that he put Bathsheba's husband on the front lines so that he would get taken out in battle and he could still have Bathsheba. Nathan, the prophet, went to the king and spoke to him a word that was strong, a word that didn't make David feel good. And I don't know if you remember the result. David lost his firstborn that he had with Bathsheba. That's not a feel-good word. Nathan was a prophet. Another section you could look at is in 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15, you don't have to turn to it. But basically, Samuel had to correct Saul. And Saul was the king. Now understand, this is kind of brutal. I'm not saying that, understand, I know we're under grace. We live under grace now, okay? So Samuel was an Old Testament prophet, a major prophet. But understand, in his day, Saul had been told to totally wipe out everything in a certain kingdom, but he kept the king back, and he kept some of the livestock for his people. And when Samuel found out, he said, what is this bleating of sheep? And I hear these animals making noise. And he kept Saul had kept the king. Samuel went in and chopped him to pieces. Not Saul. Samuel went in and chopped up the king that was supposed to be dealt with. I know that sounds harsh. I'm not saying you should expect the prophet to do that today.
Hallelujah.
Okay. But
no, can we just pause and say hallelujah? Okay, I just want to put that out there.
Now, I will tell you, sometimes when I've done something wrong and Ivy looks at me a certain way, I can tell she wants to do that. But she does not pull out the machete and deal with me, okay? I get that trash. She says, get that trash out. Yes, dear. I won't get cut up. Anyway, so so understand, the office of the prophet doesn't need an unction to bring a word. If pastor decided, you know what, I want a prophet to stand up and just deliver a word to every person, you won't need to feel good. You won't need to feel, oh, I feel the anointing coming on. No, you just stand up and deliver just like you were a doctor, or if you know how to work on cars or whatever, put the car in front of me, I'm going to work on it. It's an office you're called into. Amen? So did I go long enough?
He asked, did I go long enough? And I whispered, yes, you did. So that is the office of the prophet. The second channel or method that a giver of prophecy can move in is prophetic preaching. And you just experienced that because Otis he said some things and that's not on our notes. Prophetic preaching is a different realm of preaching. It is based upon biblical truth and speaks words that kind of illustrate or highlight what God is saying in a moment. For example, it's funny, I said to a few years ago, I was teaching a group of children and we were learning the difference between rhema and logos. We know that logos is the word of God. And rhema is when God makes the logos come alive. It makes the word of God come alive. And they were like, and I could tell, you know, the kids were looking at me. They didn't have a clue what I was saying. I said, rhema is when God like takes a big Holy Ghost highlighter in yellow or whatever your favorite color is. And he just kind of scans a passage of scripture. And for some reason, it just sticks out in that moment. Prophetic preaching is like that. Have you ever been in a service or, a service, a church service, and the preacher is preaching, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh my goodness, that preacher just starts saying some things that completely relate to your situation or a particular instance or circumstance that you are in that moment. And you, like, what that's happened to me on a number of occasions. And I kind of look around and I'm like, well, who else is he talking to? It's like that preacher is talking directly to me. That is what prophetic preaching is. When a word that comes in a sermon that speaks directly to you, it's almost as though that person knows you and exactly what you're going through. Prophetic Amen. Preaching is when God just illuminates or uses that vessel, uses that person to speak to you right where you are.
Amen.
It is meant for people in a particular moment. In Acts chapter 2, let's go there.
While you're going there, Ivy, I want to jump in real quick.
Go ahead.
She's saying that, and it reminds me, we went to this church. We used to be a part of this a church body, and one of our sister churches was in Atlanta, Dr. Gaither. And, And anyway, we were down there. Church had 3,000 people. We're up on the stage. We were there to lead worship. And while we're there, the preacher starts going around, "Where are you, Jonah?" He starts going around looking through all 3,000. He just said, "Where are you?" Because he delivered a message that was so absolutely right on time. It was perfect. It had none of his notes. It was totally off the chain. I'm sorry. It was totally unscripted is what I'm trying to say. But what he said, what he was trying to say is, "Where are you, Jonah? You caused God to divert my message and to speak directly a different word." And that was an example of prophetic preaching. I remember also Pastor Kevin Sylvester did that same thing. One time I walked in a Bible study, and I must have looked messed up because he shifted, and he was in such a beautiful spot where he was bringing that word. It was like God was speaking to directly to me.
In Acts chapter 2, this is the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost first fell upon the people and everybody began speaking in tongues, and, you know, people were walking around and they were just really drunk in the Holy Ghost. That's where that phrase drunk in the Holy Ghost comes from, because people, they couldn't stand. They were kind of wobbling and giddy and laughing and speaking in different languages. And so, you know, that was the first time that happened. And in that moment, Peter stood up. And he began to quote the prophet Joel. When the prophet Joel began to speak to the people, he wrote about what would happen when the days that Jesus or the Messiah would come. And so it's in Acts chapter 2. It starts at verse 14, and you are welcome to read that, because going to be mindful of time. And I think I gave a pretty good summary of that. But that's where that phrase drunk in the Holy Ghost comes from. And you know, Peter was there in that moment, and he's looking around and he's experiencing that thing. And it wasn't anything that he knew about. He had never experienced that. But in that moment, he began to preach, and the Lord began to speak through him about what was happening to them. And he says, I'm going to read verse 14. He says, "Then Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." And so right in that moment, Peter didn't understand what was going on, but the Lord bubbled up. He bubbled up the words of the prophet Joel, and he was able to explain to people what was going on. And then in that moment, everybody accepted it, and it explained what was happening. That's what's great about prophetic preaching. When something is happening, it just illuminates what's going on. Knowing God just makes things, he makes us aware. He helps us to understand. God doesn't want us walking around in a fog. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. And just to tie that back into when we're talking about receiving, I know we did that last week, but understand, if you're hearing that, you still can go and write that thing down. I know it might be in front of a group of people, and you might think, oh, well, that's not for me specifically. If God is speaking to you and you're bearing witness, he's speaking to you. So still go write that word down, and every nugget you get out of it, write it down and look at it and study it and chew on that thing, man, and let it become what it's supposed to, because God's not wasting time. Listen, God cares about you. He wants you to be victorious. He does not want the enemy to have you. He wants to see great things growing up out of you so that the whole world will be blessed. And remember, that's what the devil doesn't want that to happen. By the way, even though we're talking about the prophetic presbytery or prophetic preaching, I want to make sure we take the shackles off of the things of God. Sometimes we think they can only be used in the house. And so you hear preaching, but you could preach one person to another. You could, right at work, somebody's dealing with something and they ask you to give them advice. You might not have advice in and of yourself, but you know what? God could pop up a scripture. And you know what? Wait a minute. Let me show you something. Bam. That is a divine word for that moment. That logos written word that Ivy was talking about becomes rhema. It comes alive for a particular moment and it does what it's supposed to. You know, God's word is very powerful, and we don't need to add to it. We're not supposed to add to it. No, we're not supposed to take away from it. It works all by itself. And so we just need to remember to let God use us. And if that happens to you, it might have already happened to you. Let it happen.
Yes. You know, he wants to stay here for a minute. He wants to stay here for a minute. Prophetic preaching is important.
Absolutely.
And Pastor Otis just said that you can do it too. Guess how you can do it? Get in your word and read it. Hide the word in your heart. Get it in there so that he can use you. It will help you to be instant in season and out of season.
Yes.
Get it in there. Read the word. Memorize it.
Yeah.
Memorize it. Many times we hear people say, you know, there will come a day when Bibles may be taken out of America, da 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 da. All of that could possibly be true. But guess what? That ain't happening right now. But there's still an urgency. There's still a drive. There's still a push. Right now in this moment, the Holy Spirit is saying, get the word in you. It can't bubble up if it's not in there. You can't use it if it's not in there.
Yeah.
Amen? Let's hide the word in our hearts. Let's get it in there. Let's eat it up. Let's be greedy about it.
And it will help guide you. I mean, that's what the word tells us. It will help guide you going forward, you know. And when you're making selections and making decisions and hearing, you know, it's kind of confusing. I just, the other day at work, I had to watch, Deb knows we had to do these things, about security on our computers. And I waited until the last day to go through all of that. But they just were talking about all the little tricks that are out there where, you know, spear phishing and phishing and all these different things where people try to get you to click on something on the screen and it looks like it's from your bank and it really isn't. And they get you to click on it. And next thing you know, you got a virus that's taking your social security, all your information. There's so many tricks out there. And the devil's the same way.
Yes.
There's offers, people telling you can come and do this, be a part of this, come and say this, join us. All these different things that are out there. If you have the word of God in you and you let that thing drive you and you've chewed it enough, you start to discern very much deeper what's God, what's not. Should I say it? Shouldn't I say it? Is this a friend? Is this a foe? Does this person have my back or not? You know, he will start to reveal those things to you as you do the things Ivy was just mentioning to you.
You know, something else that's really cool, and I find myself doing this on my job because I work in a very secular environment. I find that all those wonderful scriptures that they purposed me to memorize when I was a child and when I was pastoring children, I when I gave the kids a memory verse, I memorized it too. What I found is that those things are so ingrained in me, I can quote that thing and it don't even really sound like the Bible to them. To them, it just sounds like good advice. Look, I don't care what they call it as long as they get it. I don't care. Yeah. I just want them to get it. Yep. I just want them to get it. And then you know what? It lays the groundwork later for people when they come and ask me, and this has happened to me. How do you feel grounded? How do you deal with the stress here? And you know what? At that moment, because the Lord has used me to lay groundwork, I can say Jesus. And their heart has been softened and they are ready to receive. Get it in there.
Amen.
Get it in there so that you can use it purposefully.
There was a time she was getting so stressed out and stuff. I had to check her bag, and I think I found a couple knives and a grenade. I took those bad boys out of there. That was before I got her transformed. I used to ask you guys to stretch your hands and pray for her, but no, seriously. She's learned how to put it in the right place. So much growth. Amen. So
I'm going to let him have that one. I'm going to let you have that one because I don't know what you're going through right now.
All right. One of the other things is prophetic presbytery. And you know what? I'm going to tell you, we're at a church where our leadership allows things that God wants to show up to show up. And so when we're talking about prophetic presbytery, you've already seen this. You've already seen these things we're talking about, but I want to highlight some things here. Prophetic presbytery is a gathering of qualified people for the purpose of doing these things: prophetic revelation and confirmation. It's a gathering of people who are qualified, and they do these things: prophetic revelation and confirmation. Two, ordination to the fivefold ministry. Oh my goodness. Try not to take little rabbit trails here. Confirmation, and this is number three, confirmation and activation of the saints' place in the body of Christ. Number four, progress in Christian maturity. Now, I kind of laugh because, you know, I always was trained. You don't, like, let's put it this way. I've been called into the prophetic ministry, not just the prophetic ministry, but to office. I've had that prophesied over me over and over and over. I don't have to have that title over my head in order to manifest what God wants me to manifest. I really have never been into titles. Okay? But having said that, and knowing that God has called me to the office of prophet, I don't need anybody to really, I mean, it's important to have someone bless you and say, that's what you are. But when I'm going to someone else's church, wherever it is, even in this church, if I have not been told or had hands laid on me by the leadership to acknowledge that office or gifting, I don't just say, I get to do this because God told me to.
Right.
And I know a lot of people who might have been called as a prophet in their home church, and they show up at another church and they think they're going to just run. They have all the liberties that come along with being in the office of prophet, and they go off and they don't really submit to the leadership. And that just gets to be chaotic. That's not checked. The presbytery is people who are qualified, who will come together, and when they lay hands on, they have the ability to impart spiritual giftings, to release those spiritual giftings that's already in there. And it talked about progress in spiritual maturity, in Christian maturity. So you have seen this when we have ordinations take place. When we're installing deacons or elders, pastor has asked for us to come up and a group of us to come up and lay hands. And we might lay hands and simply pray and impart and say, God, it's an acknowledgement of the leadership that this person is being installed in a certain place. But also, while we're doing that, we may get a word for them. And pastor has said many times, if you guys are hearing anything, ladies hearing anything, say it. That's prophetic presbytery right in front of you. Now, as time goes on and it starts to develop more and more, those giftings start to rise up, and you start to, it will start to hear more and more. There could be groups of presbytery that will take place, depending on what you're doing. But we've already seen it here at our church. It is a good thing. It is in order. God wants to do things in decency and in order. Confirmation, I already mentioned this. Confirmation and activation of the saints in their place within the body. So important. We've got gifted. Listen, you are a field that needs to be mined. And many of you, I know you're hiding at times.
Yeah.
You've got some gifts that are loosed, it's going to be silly. You've got gifts that you're using right now, but I still have some gifts I haven't discovered. And as we go forward, that's why we talk about revisiting and all that. God still wants to uncover more and more. There's things I'm going to do in the future that I don't even know I'm going to get to do yet.
Right.
I expect that.
Thank you, Lord God.
Amen?
Thank you, Lord God.
All right, so now I'm going to move on. So understand, we're still dealing with the methods of prophecy. And this can all be from the person giving. So we talked about the office of the prophet. Prophetic preaching. We talked about prophetic presbytery, and understand on that presbytery team, you may have no one in the office of the prophet, but you can still have someone who's mature in God, who have shown themselves, and now God starts to show up in different measures in that group. Okay? And now the next, after prophetic presbytery, you have the gift of prophecy. And sometimes it can get confusing. Some people will be able to operate under the gift of prophecy, but they don't have the call to the office of the prophet. That doesn't make them any less important or anything. It just means their tasks are different. All right, so please remember that the gift of prophecy is not the office, as I just explained there. In Ephesians 4, that was talking about offices, and that was Jesus' position. Many things that Jesus did, and so that was one of the offices.
I like the way you said it to me the other day. The fivefold ministry is just Jesus. He separated himself into five parts, and he said, I'm leaving these five parts with you.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the way you said that. I mean, well, you take the whole morbid part out of it. But he separated himself, and he dispensed himself as gifts to the church for the equipping of the church. These are like, you know, these are almost like job descriptions in the church. It's like when you...
The
offices are. It's like when you go to Kroger, you got your general manager, your produce manager, your meat manager. Well, in the church, in the body of Christ, you have prophets, you have apostles, you have evangelists, teachers. That's the way it is. And something that Apostle Judy said that I thought was awesome was that they are not a hierarchy. These fivefold gifts, one's not higher than another. They are not gender specific. Yes, a woman can be an apostle. Look, women, we know how to set stuff up. That's what apostles do. So yes, a woman can be an apostle. They are all on the same level. I love when she said that, because unfortunately, in the body of Christ, it is very paternalistic, in that people think that only men can do this thing and only women can do this thing in the church. When it comes to the fivefold minister gifts, it doesn't work that way. Amen?
Amen. Amen. All right, so that was office that we talked about before. I'm focusing now on the gift of prophecy. This is one of the gifts that's in 1 Corinthians, okay? And so this here shows the heart of God. It shows us how to deal with God's people. And so when you're under the gift, are you going to read that section? Okay. When you're operating under the gift of prophecy, you are able to speak, and this is what it talked about, the edification, exhortation, and comfort in 1 Corinthians 14. It should be edification, exhortation, and comfort, okay?
Really important.
Yeah, it's really important. And I will say that this type of gift, as you're sharing it, it doesn't mean you'll have it every single Sunday, every single moment. You've got a word. No, it doesn't show up that way, okay? There's times that maybe you operate under healing. Now, the nine ministry gifts, maybe you normally manifest and where you've been used the most is under a gift of healing. And all of a sudden, just because of the makeup in the room and God trying to meet and be efficient at what he's doing, maybe someone doesn't rise up and he lets that gift drop on you so you can deliver what he wants to deliver in that service. That's how that can work. Okay, but it needs to be edification, exhortation, and comfort. And when that is happening, the person who speaks, and I'm going to say this for all of these, I don't care if you're an office or a presbytery, whatever it is, God does not want to put you as the receiver, or if you're the giver, he doesn't want you putting anyone on blast. And he doesn't, oh, I'm sorry, that's slang.
Embarrassing someone.
He doesn't want you embarrassing anyone. He doesn't want you putting out their sensitive information. You've got to be mindful of who you're speaking to and who's listening to you. And I'm going to tell you, I went to Detroit. I was on a presbytery, a prophetic team. And I had a group of prophets I was supposed to work with. And they were on my team. And then Pastor Forte had a group and he was in another building. And so we always gave out clear instructions on the very first part of it. And plus we had a recorder. And so I told them, any word that is too sensitive, you speak it in their ear. You take the mic away. You got to take the mic away because people get defensive. They get upset. They start to, I mean, there's all kinds of things. And this, I can't even tell you what this young lady did. But she started sharing stuff that was way too intimate. I mean, it was so very intimate. It was out of line. And I don't even know if those people could hear what God wanted to say because she was talking about stuff in their bedroom and just putting it, I mean,
yeah,
it was out of order.
Yeah.
We do not want to do that.
No.
And if someone does that to you as you're receiving that word, try your best to still hear what God has to say. You might throw out 90% of it, whatever it is. Take whatever it is you received. Do the things we talked about last week. Go and pray over it. It might have nothing. It might be something that you need to sit on the shelf. It might have been that person in themselves. And I tell you the truth, a lot of times I don't like to prophesy over people I know well. Because it tells them, I mean, even in their mind, they're thinking, of course, he knows what's going on with my situation. And so, you know, we got to be mindful of how we deliver a word and how we receive a word.
Amen.
And I will tell you, just because you receive a prophetic word that doesn't really ring true with you, doesn't mean it's not true. I'm not telling you to act on it. You don't act on anything God has not given you a personal witness with. But what you can do is say, well, I don't really receive that right now. I don't know that that's what God wants to do. Boom, you put it off on the shelf. If God wants that thing to come about, trust me, he'll bring it back.
And the particular situation that Otis was talking about, it wasn't that what she was delivering was wrong or off. It's just that she mortified them in front of everybody. What she was saying was a good word, but she embarrassed them so badly. Even them on the presbytery team, they were sweating too. They were like, oh my Lord. And God is not trying to embarrass his children in front of everyone. He's going to speak to us lovingly so that we can fix the problem.
Amen.
With his guidance. So it's important that, you know, you say what he wants to say the way he wants you to deliver it.
Absolutely.
That's why it's really important that, you know, like now for me, y'all know I'm an emotional person. Woo! I can take off like a rocket. But when I'm prophesying, I'm generally standing still because I don't want to jack stuff up with my emotions.
Or passing out.
We
used to have people follow behind.
But I'm better now. I'm better now. I don't like fall out all the time.
Right.
But when I first began prophesying, I would just fall out all the time, and I didn't mean to. But it looked weird to people, and I was like, "Look, stop doing that." And so I made my flesh line up, and so that I could present what the Lord wanted to present in a way that was palatable for people. It's really important. Also, something to remember is that just because we take the mic down doesn't mean that we're saying something that person is in some deep sin or something. We need to be responsible as viewers as well and not judge.
Excellent. That's exactly.
Okay? It's really important. Yeah, just because I take the mic down doesn't mean I'm blasting this person and I don't want you to hear about it. God is saying what he wants to say, when and how he wants to say it. And we, as the viewer, need to get out of the way and let God move. Okay, we don't need to judge. We shouldn't have an opinion about it. What we should be doing as the viewer is, one, participating, praying in the Holy Ghost, asking God to keep the anointing flowing so that people can hear and receive from the Lord. Okay, that's what we should be doing as the viewer. Let's not have a spectator spirit. This is not entertainment.
Amen.
This ain't a TV show, okay? So we need to be active participants in what's going on in that moment. Amen?
Amen. Now, just a couple more things, and then we'll move on to this last point. We're not going to keep you much longer here. One of the things about the gift of prophecy is it is a sign for the unbeliever. Okay? So understand, it's not just for church. You bring your friends to church or you bring the unsaved to church and that gift is only restricted to the house. No. This is a gift that can manifest in Kroger, Walmart, wherever, at work. And I will say, just use some wisdom in when to share something. And it doesn't have to be, "Thus says the Lord."
Yes, and don't do the Holy Ghost jerk in the frozen food section.
Hold on, director.
Don't do that.
Oh, there's my director there. Hey, I got to work. Let's say.
Yeah,
well,
don't do that.
Anyway, you don't have to do that.
Don't do that.
It could be, look, I really believe that your relationship with your daughter is really going to turn around. I'm just hearing that for you. I don't know if you're feeling okay today or not. It could be something like that. But I really want you to know that you're loved. You might not even say God loves you. Now, I will tell you, there's been times that God has had me do this so many times. My parents, who are not spirit-filled, this is back when my father was alive, not spirit-filled, we went to Deer Creek for Christmas. And we were in the lodge, and the poor girl who was waiting for us and bringing us breakfast, I knew it. I know when God is doing this, he starts stirring on me and saying, "You're going to say something to her." And I'm like, "Oh, gosh, please. I don't want to,
know? We're just trying to have Christmas, Jesus."
And that young lady laid down stuff at my table. And I just said, "You feeling all right today, dear?" And she said, well, I'm okay. I said, "God wants you to know it is going to turn around. I don't know if you know him or not." I said, "But it is going to turn around. God loves you too much. You're beautiful to him." Bam! She's just weeping. Here she had a husband at home who she was concerned about their relationship, and they were going through all kinds of stuff, and she just got all jacked up. Her manager walked by, and I'm thinking, "Oh goodness, he's about to be mad at us." But it showed up, and she said, "Where do you guys go to?" She started wanting to know where we go to church, and of course we're not local, but we encouraged her, "Find a home. Do you know the Lord?" And it's a gift that God will use if you let God put you out there. Allow you to be embarrassed.
Yes.
He will do what he wants to. I could tell you time and time and time again, I could stack it up how many times he's done that. He's never let me down. I will tell you that. He's never left me with egg on my face.
Yes.
He is a good God. And what it does to the world, they still think God is restricted to that Bible that sits on their mama's table. God is in that Bible.
Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is. Hallelujah.
But that's the only place they think he is. He's in that Bible. So that's what I know about God. He sits on my mama's coffee table. But when you let God use you and show someone that he's still awake, he's alive today, he sees your real situation.
Glory to God.
I tell you what, one time I prophesied to a man. I said, "God says the permits are going to work out. They're going to come through for you. The permits are going to work out. It's going to come through for you." I said, "I don't know what that means." He said, "Well, actually, I'm waiting to hear back from the city on my permits." He found out the next day that he was going to be able to build. The permits went through. And I'm telling you, God will speak specific to the situation if you just let him.
Yes, he will. God is good. God is good. I'm going to stay here for a minute.
Okay.
So God is good. I don't know. I think he's building your faith, because I really sense in this for our church, God has just been speaking to me for a number of years that this is Bethel. This is God's house. This is the stuff that we're supposed to be doing. So let us allow us to just build your faith, because this is not just us platform people. This is all of us. We're all supposed to be doing this. Once I was in Meyer in Lancaster with Dr. Francine Childs. Now, if you don't know Dr. Francine Childs, she has a reputation of just doing whatever God says whenever he says it, and she'll do it in a bright red velour jumpsuit. Glory. So I was with Dr. Francine Childs. I took her. She didn't feel like driving, and she wanted to do her Thanksgiving shopping. Dr. Childs, when she does Thanksgiving, she does it for the whole city. So she just, she cooks food, and everybody just all day.
Stuffing is good.
Yeah, her dressing is really good. So from like 9 to 8, she'll just have her doors open. And if you're in Athens and you don't have no place to go, you know you can go to Dr. Francine Child's house. She don't care if she knows you or not. Well, I was with her. I drove her to Lancaster so that she could buy the food for her Thanksgiving. And there was a couple. We're in the frozen food section. And of course, Dr. Childs has on her red velour jumpsuit. And no, it's bright, y'all. It's not subtle. It's just not. And so we're in the frozen food section, and there was a couple, and they had a small child. And I'm following Doc, because when you go shopping with Doc, you just go, and you do whatever she says. So this couple in the frozen food section, the wife just turns and she just growled at her husband. I mean, in my ear, I couldn't even hear words. It was a growling in the spirit. It's just like, rah! And it's like you sensed in your spirit that she was just eating him alive. And Dr. Childs just went right up to her and she said, "Baby, don't talk to him like that. He's a child of God." And she burst into tears. And he burst into tears. Now, the baby who had been screaming and crying in that moment stopped crying. The baby was like, "Nope."
He's like, "Uh-oh."
And Dr. Childs, she just proceeded. She just continued to prophesy. Now, me as the spectator, because in that moment, I wasn't really a part of that thing, that moment. And I just remember thinking, "Oh my gosh, they're gonna kill us." And I'm shaking. I'm literally shaking. But I just said, I shook myself out of it. And I just began to look around, because I didn't want anybody to interrupt what was happening. And so, you know, I just looked around and I played with the baby just to kind of make it look as though we were having a conversation. This is what I mean about don't be passive when you're in the moment. Participate. So Dr. Childs is speaking to her and she said, "Don't ever speak to him that way again. He's a child of God." And she said, "Guess what? You are too. And what you just did was so ugly. That's not how children of God speak to one another." And then she began to prophesy about their marriage and how she wanted to commit adultery, and she was just about to do it, and da 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 da. And she was waiting to get through the holidays so that she could leave her husband. And Dr. Childs is just saying all of this, and I'm like, "Oh my gosh, she's reading their mail in the frozen food section." And so you know, I'm playing with the baby, and Dr. Childs is just ministering to her. And then she said, "Now we're gonna pray." And as you can see, I'm whispering because I don't want to embarrass you. "But today is a new day for both of you." She said, "Now, Ivy, do you have a word?" And I said, "Dr. Childs, I do not have a word. I don't have a word." And I was searching for one, because I knew, I think I had only been prophesying a few years at that point actively. And I knew that she was going to turn to me and say, "Okay, prophesy." And I was like, "Dr. Childs, I promise that I don't have a word." She said, "Yes, you do. Prophesy to the baby." So I prophesied to the baby. So, and now, mind you, I'm shaking in my boots. I'm shaking in my boots. And I prophesied to the baby, and then we prayed. And thank the Lord, the family, now they're attending a church in Lancaster. And in that moment, you can like allow yourself to just freak out, Or you can jump in the water and participate and let God do what he wants to do through
Absolutely.
You. He wants to use each and every one of us that way. Now,
yes.
I was a newbie back then. What, I don't know, 26 years later? I still participate in things like that. I don't shake as much. Glory to God. But he wants to use you right where you are. All you have to do is submit. And say, God, I don't care about how I look. I just want you to do what you're doing. He's pointing at me now. So the last one is the spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy. This is an anointing that rises from Christ within believers. The spirit of prophecy happens when a strong prophetic presence is in a service. It happens when there are prophets and people that flow prophetically in a room. It also happens when a minister challenges a group of people to stir up their gifts. So we've experienced this many times. If you've never prophesied before, you can do this. Okay? Because the spirit of prophecy is just testifying. It's telling the goodness of Jesus. Like, I love when Miss Donna comes up here and she jumps into that river, that flow of the spirit of prophecy at that moment, and she will give a testimony and it just lights the whole church up. That's the spirit of prophecy. There are many times when we're up here as a praise team and you'll kind of just start seeing me walk back and forth because I'm a pacer. I walk back and forth. I don't know, for some reason it helps me think in the spirit or whatever. And so I'll just say, let's just all start praying in the Holy Ghost. Let's all start singing in the Holy Ghost. That's stirring up the spirit of prophecy. Participate. Jump in it so that you can get a word and bring what the Lord wants you to bring. Okay? Amen. It can come in the form of a testimony. It can come in the form of a scripture. But this is a realm of prophecy that everyone can be a part of it.
It can come through art,
yes,
drawing.
It could come through drawing.
In so
yes.
many different ways.
Absolutely. A really good example of the spirit of prophecy is in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15. This is when the Jehoshaphat was the king and there was about to be a big battle and people were kind of nervous about it they were petrified because they were outnumbered. And then in that moment, they were just all there. They're all in that moment and they're just trying to seek God for what to do. They're trying to seek God. Everybody is just there. They're praying, they're singing, they're seeking God. And then some random person stands up and says, "The battle is not yours, it's the Lord."
That's right.
Okay, the battle belongs to the Lord. Stand still, okay, and see the salvation of God. So that is an example of the spirit of prophecy. Jump in it, participate. God wants to use you.
Amen.
God wants to use you.
Yes, that's right.
I don't know who I'm talking to over here in this corner, in this section over here. God wants to use you. He's spoken to you service after service, moment after moment, and you've been timid and you've not shared it. You've not brought it. And he says, look, do what I'm saying. This is me. I'm talking to you. Bring what I have for you to bring.
Let it arise. One other spot and a scripture you can look at is 1 Samuel 10. You don't have to turn there now, but I will read it to you real quick. 1 Samuel 10, verse 11. Now listen, we know about Saul. Saul was not a prophet. He was a king, and at times he was a bad king. It's jacked up stuff. But look here, in 1 Samuel 10, it says, "When all those who had formerly known him being Saul, saw him prophesying with the prophets, they asked each other, 'What is this that has happened to the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?' A man who lived there answered, 'And who is their father?' So it became a saying, 'Is Saul also among the prophets?' After Saul stopped prophesying, he went to a high place." Now understand, Saul was not a prophet. But sure enough, when Saul went and caught up with a company of prophets, because of what was already stirring about, he got caught up in the spirit of prophecy. That was already taking place. And so I want to encourage you, and as Ivy already mentioned, when we are in praise and worship, When God is showing up and it's a high moment, it is very possible for, or actually there's another part there that I don't know if you mentioned this, but it also can be when the pastor encourages you to stir it up. Yeah. So it can be just him say, hey, come on, I believe you can do this. Let's really ask God. Let's seek God. And that can manifest. It can truly happen if you just allow God. There's a lot of communication that's taking place right now. The issue isn't that God's lack of communication. It's our lack of being still and listening to what's going on.
And also being caught up in our own inhibitions. The whole, mm-hmm. Well, you know, they asked us to dance, but I don't dance. They asked us to lift our hands, but I don't lift my hands. Those are things that block the spirit of prophecy. Our own personal hang-ups and our own personal opinions about who we are. No. Let's align our thinking with what God says.
Yes.
If we're up here and we're saying, clap your hands, clap your hands.
That's right.
If we're up here saying, lift your hands, lift your hands. If the song, like we sang today, we lift our hands in the sanctuary. And people started doing it. Glory to God. If we had stayed there a little longer, the spirit of prophecy would have stirred up. It would have gotten going and we don't know where we would have been.
Yes.
You know? So it's don't allow your own personal thinking to block you and to block the spirit of prophecy. Jump in, be a full participant. When visitors come to this church, they should see shy people clapping and stomping their feet for Jesus.
That's right. That's right.
When people come into this church, they should see people who don't talk loud, talk loud. They should see people that talk loud, talk a little softer.
That's right. We are
coming out of who we think we are and aligning ourselves with the Spirit of God that's within us. Let's
yes.
not block what Jesus wants to do. Let's not block what the Holy Spirit desires to do.
Amen. Amen. Yes. All right. So that's really what we wanted you to hear. We pray God will just speak to you and rise these two messages up in you and that you'll walk in all that God has for you. We're going to pray and then hand it over to you, Pastor. Is that okay? Father God, we just thank you again for the word that has come forth. We thank you for what you want to do with that word. We know that your word goes forth and performs what you have for it to do. It will not return to you void. So we claim that. We believe that, Father God. And so I thank you for what we're going to walk into in our future, the things that's going to be revealed in us, the giftings that's going to be set free. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.